في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس. صدق الله العظيم. Continuing with our topic for the need to clean our heart from the spiritual diseases. Today we are going to talk on one topic which is considered as the mother of the spiritual disease, which is ghadab. Ghadab means an intensive anger that emanates from our heart and it swells all the vein in our body until it goes to our brain and we lose control over our tongue, our gaze, our hands, our limbs. And from that bad habit, if it is not being monitored properly, individuals can be destroyed, family can be destroyed, countries can be destroyed. If you look at the First World War, the Second World War, or even what happened in Iraq, or whatever, wherever it's happening, you will find that the underpinning feeling that sparks off all those things is the quality of anger. Ulama-i-Kiram explained, Mawlana Allama Mawlud, from Mauritania, he says, an ajib thing about the quality of anger. He says that anger is an ajib word he has used, is a swelling of emotion. It is a swelling of emotion. A swelling of an ocean of emotion that manifests in our body. When it becomes unleashed, it goes out of proportion. You cannot withhold it back. It is a mass of emotion that manifests in our body. When a person gets angry, the anger indicates that he is superior. This is why he shows anger towards other person. And if this is not being monitored, it develops pride. It develops egoism. At the same time, a person gets angry when this anger is being done under a right reason, then there's a quality of justice that pushes him to show anger. There is a quality to remove, to wipe off the evil that pushes him. When a person hasn't got anger, he cannot make jihad. When a person hasn't got anger, he cannot protect his family. So there is so many emotions that manifest in a person when this anger is sparked off from the body and it goes to the brain. And this is a natural thing, to be angry. To be angry is a natural thing. But what happens is when it swells our veins, when it goes to the brain, if it is not monitored properly, if a person cannot differentiate when to get angry, to let it appear, when to act upon the demand of anger, this is where the danger is, and this is what needs to be reformed. Ulama-i-Kiram explained that anger is like a hunting dog. A hunting dog, if you don't train it properly, it can never retrieve what you need, and it will never be able to direct you in the right direction. It's a beautiful comparison. In the same way, our anger, if it is not well monitored, if we don't control it properly, then what we want to achieve through this anger will not be a good thing that we're going to do. Once Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam, he was Kalimullah, and being a Nabi of Allah, he could talk to Iblis, and Iblis asked him, "Hey Musa, you are Kalimullah, you go to Mount Sinai to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah to forgive me. The mistake I did, tell Allah to forgive me." So Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam, went on Kohitur and address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, Iblis is asking you to forgive him." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell him, "Hey Musa, go and tell Iblis, if he wants me to forgive him, you know where is the qabr of Adam, go and make the spreadsheet of Adam and his qabr." And again, the anger, the arrogance that is hidden in Iblis manifests itself once more, because the Quran says, "Wakana minal mustakbirin," he was among those who had takabbur in them. So this is a hidden disease that Iblis has, which has not left him yet. So how many years, how many millennium past, Iblis still has this disease in him, because Iblis never had a spiritual mentor. This is a need for a Sheikh Kamil to guide us on the right path. Anyway, so Iblis told us that, got angry on that. He said, while he was alive, in Jannat I refused to make sijda of Adam. Now I'm going to make sijda by his qabr, by his grave. This I'm not going to do. But nevertheless, "Hey Musa, you have done me a favor. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to do you a favor. Hey Musa, I'm going to tell you something. When a person gets angry, he becomes my slave. Hey Musa, when a person becomes angry, he becomes my slave." Today, if you look at the rate of divorce, brother, ponder on one simple thing. If you look at the statistics of divorce in UK, it's increasing and increasing and increasing. The official statistics in UK I've read recently from a book on family law is out of 83 marriages, one is ending up in divorce. This is the rate of divorce in UK right now. All this, if you look properly, because either the wife or the husband, I'm not talking of Muslim, I'm talking generally. If the husband or the wife don't control the anger, it ends up on divorce. And who suffers? The children will suffer. Family has animosity. Acrimony is developed between the two families. And then this costs the state to monitor, to look after the children. And it goes on and on and on. All the things because the person has not been able to control his anger. This is simple statistics. Like this, I can give you so many statistics where the root of it is anger. So this is why Ulama Kiram says that malady, the first disease that need to be treated when a person decides to purify his heart is the disease of anger. The Mashaykh goes to the extent of saying that one person must not get angry at all. When a person take bait with a sheikh, the very first thing the sheikh will tell him, you must not get angry at all in the beginning. Why? Allama Qasim Nanavi rahmatullah alayhi explains, he said, look at paper, you fold it, if you try to make it right, what happens? But you must go to the other extreme. Then you try to get it balanced. This is the hikmat of telling you don't get angry at all. Because anger got a positive and a negative, as I mentioned earlier on. If a person hasn't got the quality of anger, he cannot make jihad. If a person hasn't got the quality of anger, he cannot stop wrong. If a person hasn't got the quality of anger, he won't be able to defend his family. So anger has got a positive side and a negative side. But to reform a person, the Mashaykh says that you must not get angry at all in the beginning. Bring it under control. Very, very important to bring it under control so that it does not develop as a disease. Because anger is cancerous. Once a person cannot control his anger, this will have a ripple effect on other maladies, on other spiritual diseases. For this reason, we must control our anger. I'm going to give the remedy that Mawlana Shafi'i Thami rahmatullah alayhi has given, Mawlana Isfahani and great ulama have given. There are 7 stages to control one's anger, inshallah, that I am the first person that need it. So Ulama Kiram explained that there are the cardinal virtues that when a person ponder upon his self-creation, when a person look into himself, that there are, we did discuss it before, that the, what we call the Ummahatul Fazail, the mothers of all the good nature of men. Ummahatul Fazail, that is, there are 4 qualities that men must develop in him, just as a revision. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon mankind the quwwat al-aqliya, that is, the faculty to think. When a person balances his faculty to think, his intellect, he gets a proper education, then he will have what you call wisdom. And when a person doesn't acquire the right education, he uses his intellect outside his jurisdiction where you're not supposed to use your intellect, then he will become a fool. You make a fool out of himself. So when you have a balance, when to use your intellect and not when to use your intellect, when to abide the Quran and the Sunnah, and when to start making ijtihad, then, brothers, you develop the quality of hikmah. And hikmah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, is a great gift. Whoever have given hikmah, this balance, this proper thinking, this sanity in thinking, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you wisdom. It's a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to come to the hikmah very soon. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has manifested those qualities that make a perfect human being through those 4 qualities. I'm going to give examples, inshallah. The second one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed men with the internal faculties is the faculties of quwwat al-qadhabiyya, the quality of anger. A soul which is irascible, which is spur in men the quality of getting angry, or the appetite for sex, or for food, or these are type of things, the need that urges men, it's developing a human being. When a person controls this anger, when a person controls the need to eat, but he controls it, he develops this resistance in him, then he develops the quality of shuja'a, which is bravery. Without bravery, a person cannot do anything. Without bravery, you cannot stop the bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, protect, forbid, order the good and forbid the wrong. this is why the Quran has encapsulated this quality of shuja'ah, which is a very great quality of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has developed in mankind is the quality of iffat. Iffat means chastity. Chastity is a great quality that man has developed to overlook at things. The quality of chastity. We control our sexual desire, etc. Then the fourth quality, which encompasses those three things that you must have a balance, is adl. Quwwat al-adliyah. That is the quality to have a balance, to have a justice in us. These four qualities, the quality of adl, the quality of shuja'ah, the quality of iffah, the quality of hikmah, four qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has epitomized in the quality of Rasulullah, where the Quran says, Noon, wal qalami wa ma yasturun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that by the pair, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Quran, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. O Rasul, you verily have an august quality. What is this quality? Is to have this balance. If you ponder every day in our life, I said it, I repeat it again. If a person wants to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who reads his five times salah, how many times he did ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim? The word mustaqim in the Arabic language means to have this balance. Allah Akbar. We read it 48 times a day in our Fardh Salah. And those who want to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many nawafil they read a day? 8 rakat tahajjud, 4 rakat, 4 rakat for ishraq, 12 rakat for duha, for salat chas, we get to say 30 rakat salatul awabin, and 2 rakat salatul tawbah before we sleep, it already 44 rakat. 48 plus 44, added about 94 times a day, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us this sirat al mustaqim. When a person understands this balance he must have in him, this is sirat al mustaqim. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown in Rasulullah s.a.w. In the word of my late teacher, Mawlana Jamil Ahmad Sahab, Nawarallahu Marqada, my first teacher who told me tafsir. He said something ajeeb, very ajeeb. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi, Rasulullah s.a.w. has melted his personality. This is the word he used. He has melted his personality in the Sahaba Ikram. And when you look at the life of the four Khulafa'i Rashidin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has manifested one of those four qualities more in one of those Khulafa'i Rashidin. If you look at the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he was the person where Rasulullah didn't have anybody behind him. He was the one who stood up and said, when the people were attributing all type of titles to Rasulullah, he is the one who came and said that if Rasulullah said he went for Miraj, he is the truth. Something that challenges rationality, that challenges your intellect. How is it possible in those days, in one night, to go to Baitul Baqdis and come back? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq stood up. He was the same one in Ghari Hira. When the snake wanted to come out of the hole to bite Rasulullah, he put his feet there. He's the same one who undertook the journey with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the same one so that the people of Medina know that he is Rasulullah sallam. I am not the Rasul of Allah. He made sure that he put like an umbrella on the head of Rasulullah sallam so that people know that I am not the Nabi. He is a Nabi because first time he's entering Medina, he finished his nerves completely for the sake of Rasulullah sallam. It's only a person who has developed the quality of shuja'ah can display this type of quality. This is a quality which is more pronounced in the Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the quality of shuja'ah. Like we mentioned last week, the first fitna that entered the Ummah was when the people refused to give zakat. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was a bit doubtful whether we make jihad on them. As Abu Bakr Siddiq said, no, we're going to win jihad. As we will discuss it. So it's demand a person of this caliber to take the reign of Khilafah. Then we look at the life of Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu. Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala, he is known for his adala, for his justice. There's so many ayat of Quran revealed by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. His sense of justice, his sense of balancing in his reasoning was Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. His anger, how he monitored his anger. In fact, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with a Quraysh woman. And that was before the ayat of Farda being revealed, that they saw Umar radiallahu anhu and they ran away. Rasulullah started laughing. The one of the alarm came, yes, why are you laughing? He says, Quraysh woman, they see you, they ran away. Then Rasulullah said, hey Umar, he's laughing. Rasulullah was laughing, looking at how people are, hey Umar, if you are in one side of the street, Shaitan sees you, he's on the other side of the street. This is the quality of Shuja'a that Hazrat Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala developed. The third quality is the quality of Iffat, the quality of chastity. Hazrat Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu anh was well known for that, that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting and his lungi was a bit like this. Now, Hazrat Umar Abu Bakr Siddiq came, he didn't leave. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh came, but Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala came. Then Rasulullah s.a.w. says the shyness in Hazrat Umar Usman radiallahu anh is more than a virgin girl. Allahu Akbar. So much haya he had in him, Hazrat Usman radiallahu anh. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, if you analyze the chaotic situation that prevailed in the Islamic Empire after the martyrdom of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, how the battle of Jamal took place, the battle of Siffin took place, the hikmah, the way he handled things is ajeeb. This is what the quality of hikmah is. I don't know whether you had a chance to read the book, The Peak of Eloquence. Those who read the khutubat of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anh will understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered him with hikmah. So these four qualities that was highly manifested in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has manifested it in the four Khulafa'ir Rashidin. Allah. These are not four ordinary qualities that we must try to get. Coming back to the quality of anger, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put anger in a man, he got its positive side and its negative side. He got its positive side and its negative side. You will find that Ulama Kiram explained that what causes anger in a person. When a person gets angry, there are four reasons. Four things that make a person get angry. The first one is if a person steals your personal thing, the primal thing of your life, like food, your shelter, it's just normal that as human being, you must start getting angry to protect them, as long as you don't go beyond limits. The second one is your position. If a person attacks your dignity, you have a right to defend yourself. You have a right to defend yourself. Very, very important. I always tell Muslims, they are like Sufi, over Sufi. They are more than Sufi than the Prophet. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when the woman of Egypt were accusing Zulaikha that she wanted to have an affair with her slave, that's important for Yusuf, I'm quoting, what happened to cover up the things he was put in jail. Then the king had a dream and they needed somebody to interpret the dream. I'm really summarizing Surah Yusuf for you. So they call somebody to call that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. If you read the Quran, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did not come out in Egypt. You say, what about this criticism leveled against me by the high ladies of Egypt? Clear this out first. Look, how many years have been in jail? Me and you would have run out of the jail. But look, the Allah's Nabi, he didn't get out. Clean my personality. I am not an adulterer. From this, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi Marifu Quran says, the Sunnah of the Anbiya. When a person wants to tarnish your image, you got to defend yourself. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by with one of his wives, and then there was a group of Sahaba Kiram sitting there. He telling the Sahaba, "Hey, Fula, this is my wife, so and so." Sahaba Kiram said, "Ya Rasulullah, how can you say we think something like this?" He says, "Nothing, anything can come in your mind." Rasulullah sallam, to clear his image, even before people think bad, he had to clear his image. We have a duty to clear our image. So, a person attacking your dignity, a person wanted to whip your dignity, humiliate you, this is a duty of a Muslim not to be humiliated. We have a duty. So, this anger, as long as it is not for haughtiness, as long as it is not for humiliation to others, it is just right that we defend ourselves within the limit of Sharia. This is the second reason a person will get angry. The third one, Ulama Kiram says, it is for specific people, for a specific matter. For example, I get a book by Imam Al-Ghazali. I go on a farm, a jihad, and he shows a book. For him, this book has no value. For me, great value. But you take a pitchfork, the Ali, and you break it in front of him, his life will be, why are you taking his pitchfork? He will not be able to tolerate that. But for the Ali, the pitchfork. So, he will get angry on that. The Ali will get angry on the book. It's a question of priority. So a person can get angry for that. It is justifiable. The fourth reason why you get angry, the first one, as I told you, is the primal need that you need. The second one is for a specific, the second one all about Kedar explains for your position, your dignity. The third one is for specific reasons, specific people, for specific things. But there's a fourth reason that all of my Kedar explained as to why you get angry. The fourth one is what's called Ghaira. That is a word that we cannot translate. And this is something very, very important, especially in UK, where you have a free society. Ghaira is a type of jealousy that manifests in you when somebody attacks your family. Your daughter is walking on the street, a boy whistles at her. Or your wife is passing by and she's wearing burqa, and you fire some racist attack on her. Ninja, whatever people talk. For you to get angry at that moment, your ghaira, your personal feeling inside, your honor is at stake to get angry with that. But again, it got to be within the parameter of Sharia. These are the four reasons as to why a person gets angry. Besides that, all our angry must be monitored. So it is very, very important to consider those four things. Now, Ulama Kiram goes further. They say that if you look at Judaism is such a religion which is well known for its stern justice. Very, very strict in Muslim masail. Very, very strict. If you look at Christianity, the other side, Christianity tells you forgive and forgive, love and forgive, whatever be the case, forgive and forgive. Whether Sharia strike a balance, the first one is up, Judaism. The second one is forgiveness. In Rahmah, Islam strike a balance between those two. Say no. Imam Al-Ghazali says, anger should be four things. Imam Al-Ghazali mentioned four things. Anger, if you are to show your anger, to strike this balance, it must be the right place. Sometimes in Masjid, especially in Ramadan, you see, because the heat in Ramadan, you get angry, there's double heat in your head. What happens is a child is screaming at the back. Everybody's talking to you. We lose our respect for the Masjid. So we must know when to get angry. Very important. Very, very important. What place to get angry? What time to get angry? At times a person is making noise. Angry, keep quiet. We did our voice more than him. We want to correct him, but we raise our voice more than him. There is no balance in there. There is no balance. We're losing our composure. We use our sense of rationale. This is not the way to control our anger. We want to control a person, a crowd is the way to do that. And this is very, very important. I mentioned it in Masajid especially. The month of Ramadan is coming very soon, and we see those things. People get angry, especially in the middle of the last 10 days when people start getting tired now. They can't take the Taraweeh anymore. The nafs can't take it. Nafs want to manifest itself. And shaitan is locked. But the training effect of shaitan for the 11 months is still in our heart. We don't control ourselves. So the right place, the right time, the right intensity, certainly, the level we must get angry. That's also something. Do we raise our voice when we get angry? Do we raise our voice? The fourth one is the right reason. The right reason for getting angry. Four things Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, we must think properly when we get angry. We go home, our children mess the tea on the table. What do we do? Get angry? How we handle this situation? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says there are three stages to handle children. Ajeeb, Hazrat Ali radiallahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed him with hikmah. Ajeeb thing. He says there are three stages you handle children. The first stage is the first 7 years. Play with them. Because intellectually they haven't understood things. He says this is age to play with them. Not to scold them. And Mawlana Shafi'i Khan rahmatullah alayhi in his madrasa, if any ustad used to hit a child, he would scold that ustad. It's strict condition. Not today our madaris maktab, just go and see what is happening. Only it was the governor who came to tell us this is the law of Islam. By the end of the day, you cannot hit. This is the law came now. You cannot even hit child at school. You cannot even raise your voice. We didn't need the government to tell us this. It is the Sharia already, but it's not being practiced in our makatib. We hit children on their face. We hit children on their back. We raise our voice unnecessarily. I know it is difficult at times to teach children for long, but if a person's purification has not been done, if his anger has not been monitored, this is why you end up with that. But now, because there's a police behind your back, now you're controlling your anger. Now, we are not doing for the pleasure of Allah, we're doing for the pleasure of the police. So a person who has not been able to control his anger, this is what happened. So what I was talking about, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, says there are three stages. The first is the first 7 years. Play with children. This is not an age to try to make them understand. It's difficult. It's difficult to make them understand. There's one important masala comes to my mind. I'm telling you. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when a child is 7, teach him salah, make him read salah. And when the child is 10, if he doesn't read his salah, give him a small hadith. What does this mean? Many people don't understand this masala. Many, many. I would say 99.99% people don't understand this masala. For a child, Rasulullah never said to teach salah at the age of 7. He said make them read salah at the age of 7, which means before 7, the child must already be taught how to read salah. Make it server, you will find. Our children don't know dry qunut, they don't know. Leave our children, baby people don't know dry qunut that we read in the week of salah. The child doesn't know Surah Fatiha, Surah Wadduha, Alantara, he doesn't know at the age of 7. Think about it, 99.99%, it's a serious matter that I'm raising here. 99.99%, I would say, our Muslims don't understand this. They think at the age of 6, 7, we must send them to madrasa, learn qaida, etc. And we are saying that we don't have any responsibility. We put them in madrasa, and that's it. No. We have a responsibility as parents to implement this study. Then at the age of 10, 7 years is over now. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, this is the age to make them understand. Understanding, you got to give tarbiyah. And tarbiyah, Mawlana Shafi'i Amir rahmatullah alayhi says, Jannat is under the feet of the mother and the champal is under the feet of the father. Very important. This is why tarbiyah has been made the responsibility of the father. Rasulullah says in the hadith, give your child a proper name and tarbiyah, because on the day of Qiyamah, your child will be called by your name in Maidan al-Hashr. Very important to understand the role of the father for tarbiyah. Again, we leave it for the mother to do it. We don't want to care. We just don't want to care. Tarbiyah is a responsibility of the father. According to the Hanafi Mazhab, when there is a divorce, at the age of 7 for the boy, and according to certain riwayat, the age of 9 for girl, if there is a divorce, the child must come to the father for tarbiyah. Stick. I don't want to go and fit, but this is a masla of tarbiyah. This is not based on hadith, this is on the call of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. I don't want to go into the details about this masala masail. There are different aqwal, different from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, different Imam Shafi, different Imam Malik, each one has their own dalail. To a Hanafi point of view, if there is a divorce, at the age of 7, the child is supposed to go to the father for tarbiyah. The daughter, at the age of 9, for tarbiyah, to nurture them, to guide them. That's the responsibility of the father. Again, we're running away from our responsibility. How are we going to produce a good society? It's difficult. So coming to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, where Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is taking us. Allahu Akbar. So the first three relationships with your children, the first one, the first 7 years, is you play with the children. They're immature, they are not developed. And this Qudrati Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy. The second one is, after the next 7 years, now there is a lot of hormonal changes in the body. He's going to become an adolescent. He's going to become, at the age of puberty, he's going to become baligh. And that, you've got to think what is happening to this child. That he's going to have a beard. His voice is going to become thick. His sweat will smell. He will undergo a personality change. You've got to befriend him, to help him, to shoulder him, to shift from the age, from this world of childhood to the world of adolescence. Again, we fail to understand this as parents, that this child needs this help. A girl is to have experience her first phase. You know how traumatic it is for this girl. How traumatic it is to go through this pain. If the parents are not going to take the responsibility, they're going to learn it the wrong way outside. Believe me, they're going to learn it the wrong way outside. It's so important. There's many, many Masai pertaining to hate. If we parents, we are not going to break the taboo and explain to them. Well, it's not a taboo, there's a way, but we teach them, rather than the Rehkom teach them. Again, we're running away from our responsibility. Of course, with adab, women used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all about istihaza masla. Rasulullah, who are we? And who are the sahabiyah? Who are our daughters? That we want to create taboos in the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't want to explain it, at least talk to our wives, explain to the girls, okay, you're going to have this change, at this age your body will shape like this. This is what is going to happen in your body. Ultimately, this is what has happened. You've got to prepare the child psychology. It's a very, very important step in the life of a girl. But parents are not taking this responsibility. So Hazrat Ali Karam Allahu Ajha is giving us this advice. The next 7 years is very, very important to discipline your child, to befriend this child. Then after that, you become a human being. Again, an adult. That's very, very important to understand the concept of adulthood in Islam and the concept of adulthood in the secular mind. Let us not be trapped in the concept of childhood according to the Western way of thinking. According to the Western way of thinking, they have put the age of 18. If you look at the life of great Sahabi, like Usama radiallahu ta'ala, at the age of 17, he was a general of an army. He went to conquer Persia at the age of 17. You take the life of Harun al-Rashid, alayhi rahma, who was a Khalifa, at the age of 22, he went to conquer Syria. Great personality. Our concept of adulthood, those brothers who came from India, will realize it will be not far, even to Mewat, which is not far from Delhi. At the age of 15, a girl is ready to look after. This is one of the reasons we see a Mewat in Tabligh Jamaat. Because the woman folk is in charge of the fields, of the agriculture, so they can go in Jamaat, right? At the age of 15, when I went there, you hardly find any girl. They are already booked. They have been trained to cook, to look after the buffalo because their life rotates around the buffalo, to milk, to gather this dung because there is no electricity there, to use it for electricity there, etc. At the age of 15, the girl is already trained to handle a house. Here, a girl who went to university can't even make a cup of tea. So the concept of what is adulthood is how we want our child to be an adult. It's not what the law is dictating us. It's what we are creating of our environment, how much control we have over our environment. This is what Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, is telling us, that the three stages to handle our children. So getting angry with children that are maslam, masailam, that how we must monitor our children, how we tarbiyat our children, all this has to do with anger. Bottom line, if a person has too much anger, it will be difficult to make tarbiyat of the children. The impression you create on the child, the first 7 years, whatever you put in the child's mind will stay with him the rest of their life. If we as fathers, we're going to show this irascible character, this cholerous nature, just getting angry on petty things, the child, sooner or later, this will go in her subconscious or his subconscious. He will manifest all this frustration on society later. We don't realize those things. Anger is a very bad disease. Very, very bad disease. If we don't monitor it, we're going to produce recidivism, juvenile delinquency. All those things will come out, will manifest in society because we as parents, we did not monitor our anger, and this is stamped in the subconscious of the child. It manifests, and then now we must go by the psychiatrist, we must go by the psychoanalysis, we must go by the sociologist, and I don't know what it is we must go to understand social problems. But this is the root of it. This is what the Sheikh, the Mashaykh of the Tasawwuf are telling us, that anger is the mother of all the spiritual diseases. Very important that we control our anger. And this is where, when Iman, which is the internal aspect of our heart, and Islam, the external, when a person combines this, has a balance in those things, then, the coming back to the concept of a balance, then you become a muhsin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, Allah loves the muhsin. Who is a muhsin? A muhsin is a person who is excellent in his worship and his character. A muhsin is a person who has reached excellency in his ibadat and his akhlaqiyah. Then you become muhib in the sight of Allah. You become the beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to what we were saying, that Maulana Shaykh Ali Thani was giving seven reasons as to how we control ourselves. Before I go there, there's one simple thing I want to show you on anger. Once a person went to his Shaykh and asked him, is it true that the different wali of Allah, the Sufis, have different colors? They vary in the temperament. Or is it the same? The Shaykh said, don't ask this question. He said, no, I want to know. So the Shaykh said, go to such places. You will find three people doing zikr. Go and give each one a stroke. And they did. So he went to the first one and gave him one shot. The man continued to zikr. He said, the second one. The second one come and give you the same. Going back. He hit the third one. The third one turned. Oh, brother, did you get hurt when you did that? He didn't understand. He went to the Shaykh and said, this is what has happened. The Shaykh told him, the first one when you hit him, look how anger, the waves of anger, the frequency changes from person to person. The first one, when he got angry, what was happening was, he thought that the pain that I've got is gone. You cannot achieve it again. Why should I turn back and take my revenge and waste my time fighting with him? Let me make my zikr in Musawab. Who did it? The second one, who hit him, why he didn't die? The Shaykh told him, he hit you back to save you. Because the Quran says that when a person harm you, it's ayah of the Quran, when a person harm you, hit him the same amount. He asked him, did you hit you the same intensity? He said, yes. He says, he hit you the same intensity because if you harm somebody who is an Ahlullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take wrath on you. Allah's wrath can come on you to save you from the wrath of Allah. This is what hit you. And the third one, he had a different approach. He's so soft-hearted. He overlooked what you did to him. Maybe by hitting him, maybe he thought it's low of himself. And he thought good for you. This is why he showed his anger differently. So the quality of anger, three different wali of Allah, different engages the zikr, askar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, different manifestation. This is how askar has its effect on us. There is an important point raised by, in another book I read is, when a person came to, a sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and asked Rasulullah, O Rasul of Allah, give me an advice. Rasulullah sallam says, La taqtab, don't get angry. Say, give me again advice. He said, don't give me too many advice, give me one advice. Rasulullah says, him, say, don't get angry. Under the hadith, the sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasul of Allah, what is the worst thing that a man can have from Allah? He says, the wrath of Allah. The wrath of Allah. Then he asks Rasulullah, how can I avoid it? He says, do not get angry. From there, ulama kiram explains that our action, the direct correlation of our action and how it's being reprimanded in this world itself. And ponder upon the word of Rasulullah, this sahabi wanted a simple, straightforward advice from Rasulullah. And there are so many Rasulullah could have given, don't eat too much, don't make ghibah, but there are so many advice Rasulullah could have told him. But Rasulullah has pinpointed the disease that will lead to other things is anger. So Rasulullah told him, don't eat. From there you can see that our anger, which spill over on our actions, has a direct correlation how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat us. So this is why it's very important that we control our anger. Now, how do we control our anger? Mawlana Fadhil Kamil Rahmatullah Alayh and the great great ulama has given about seven steps that we must do to control our anger. The first one is very, very important, is we have to remember that if I get angry and I show my anger, right, I would disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the ayat that I have quoted early on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who stand secretly for Allah, or openly, or in prosperity or adversity, and those who swallow their anger and overlook what people have done. So from that, what Qazimin al-Ghayb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has praised those people who eat their anger, who control their anger. As I told you earlier, you've got to understand that anger is something natural. It comes in a person. The four things that we discussed earlier on will bring anger in a person. It comes in hadith. Rasulullah, when he used to get angry, he had a vein here. This used to swell. Sahaba Kiram knew he was angry. But to show the anger, to manifest the anger, this is where it is first to control it. You understand what I'm saying? When something happens, you get angry, it's a normal thing. Just like you go to the market and somebody is frying a lovely meat. Automatically it sparks off the desire to eat. But do you eat it or not? You control yourself because it's not halal. In the same way, the anger, it sparks off. Something happens, the causality, there's a reason, is something that makes you angry. It came, it's natural. But to control it, that's for us. So we have to understand that. It's normal to get angry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in human being. And the reason Allah has put it in human being is the ayah of the Quran that we must encourage people towards the good and forbid what is wrong. That's the philosophy behind anger. So, what is important is when we get angry, we want to display our anger, we want to manifest our anger physically, we convert it, we translate it in physically, we got to understand that we are disobeying Allah. And if we disobey Allah, and Allah gets angry with us, what are we going to do? So the first thing, that is train our mind on that. The second stage is, we must think to forgive. Because if we do not forgive, how we expect Allah to forgive us? Once Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, Jalil al-Qadr Sahabi, who was Khalifa of his days, what happened is a person came and wanted to ask for permission to take his revenge because somebody broke his teeth. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala told him, forgive him. He said, no, we broke my teeth. So Hazrat Muawiyah said, okay, you've got to decide the Quran tells you can, the ayah quoted early on, no problem. So he was going to break his teeth. On the way he went, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu aliban. Abu Darda said, hold on, why are you going there? He said, it's my right. Everybody talks about the right now. He said, no, don't do that. Because what if you exceed the limit? Instead of one, you broke two teeth. Then, or instead of you being the oppressed, now you will become the oppressor and Allah will protect him and not you. What are you going to do? Then what happened? He quoted me a hadith where Rasulullah has said to this effect that if a Muslim hurts another, has shown an excess on other Muslims, and he forgive him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him the day he will need forgiveness the most, that is the day of Qiyamah. Then he asked Abu Darda, have you heard it directly from Rasulullah? He said, yes, I've heard it directly from Rasulullah. He said, I tell you. So we must learn the quality of forgiving. That's very, very important. At times we go home, our wife burned the food once. Then 2 days the food is nice. The third day she cooked salt too much. Then 3 few days is okay. Then 4 days she was not well, she didn't cook. That's a common problem with the food at home. We must learn to overlook those things. We got to understand our wives are not our cook at home. There is no hadith and no ayat of Quran that says your wife must cook for you. So no. Ask any faqih in the world you want, any mufti. There is no ayat of Quran and no hadith that say your wife must cook for you. Yes, diyanatan between her and Allah, she got a muraj. It's a lack of hadith, this is what the ulama said. But faza'an, legally, you cannot go take her to court to a qazi and tell her she must cook for you. Yes, she can take you to court and tell you the Quran says, you must give me food. And there's ayat the Quran on that. The Quran says you must give me my clothing. وَعَلَى الْمَعْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ Ayat the Quran. I'm not quoting hadith, I'm the Quran. So, you must learn to forgive. First of all, it's not her duty to cook for us. It's a benevolence. Her good manners in her. She's cooking for us. And on top of that, we're getting angry with her. This is a common thing we hear. that's not right. That's not how you're supposed to behave like husband, Muslim husband. We must understand that. So we must learn to forgive. If she makes a mistake, first of all, she's not supposed to cook. She's not supposed to wash our clothes also. In fact, the Maslah says, if she comes from such a family where she has a maid, your duty to give her a maid. If I'm going to talk about a secret tape, yeah, Lord. The problem now. We'll see what you... Anyway, our sisters know they're right. But sisters who are listening to me, please understand the concept of qaza'an and diyanatan. You got a moral duty to serve your husband, though legally Sharia protects you. Don't abuse of those maslah that I'm giving. So this was about Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. The third one is, do not remain idle. Do not remain idle. That is, if you got angry, do something. That's very important. Because anger, there are three places in our brain. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi has explained that. The first one is what you call the R brain, the R stem, which contains all our needs and desires. Then you get the midbrain. The midbrain is mainly for some rational decision. And then you get the neocortex, right, which contains our faculties. You will find that either a person is very emotional with the midbrain, he's very emotional, very happy or very angry, or whatever qualities he got in him, or the person can have a lot of desires in him, or a person is overly thinking too much and he's abstract in his thinking. These are three qualities of people you see. If you study psychology, this is what you would. You don't have control over your desires, or you're too abstract in the thinking. Or anybody go home and think about your quality in school under the tree. Imam Al-Ghazali, years ago, already has studied psychology. Now only they are saying that the psychologists are telling us, right? So, when we get angry, these three things interact in our brain. As I explained earlier, the swelling of emotions that takes place in our body when we get angry. Hence, don't remain idle. Divert our attention. Very important. This is what Moshabri Khan is saying. If this also doesn't make you control your anger, the next one is proven from the Hadith of Rasulullah, is to move away from the object that makes you angry. Many a times you find husband and wife at a time. You don't expect your wife to leave the home. You go out, take some fresh air. Or go a bit earlier in the month to cool yourself. Because your wife won't go to the house. Move away. Then when you come back, you take a smile. Full of things. At times, unnecessary, it's our fault. If it's our fault, accept it is our fault. If it is her fault, overlook it. If it's the fault of the child, overlook it. Or make her understand. Because you cannot make a person understand if they are angry. The famous saying is, if you cross two iron bars, what will happen? Fire. You are angry, your wife is angry, and both of you are arguing, you'll be fire. So you must give in. Someone, either she gives in or you give in. If nobody is giving, you walk out of the house, full of anger. Go masjid, make some askari, something out of the Quran or whatever, then come back home. It's normal to get angry, but you've got to control it. So move away from the thing that makes you angry. The third one is, decide tasmiyah. The Rasulullah has given hadith on that. Read a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, because this also is from proven from the ayat of Quran. وَإِمَّا يَنْدَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. If there is any provocation from shaitan that provokes you, seek protection from Allah. And anger is a heat. Shaitan is made of fire. So heat in your body, plus shaitan sitting on your head, you know what is going in our body when you get angry? So Allah says in the Quran, first time, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan. It is very, very powerful as the Quran. Then drink cold water. Drink cold water because heat goes up, cool it off. If this also doesn't work, perform wudu. And then ulama says, if you are standing sitting, if you are sitting, lay down. Because fire goes up, you must counter it. Heat goes up, you must counter that. So this is why the seven stages or eight stages that our ulama kiram say that we must do to control our anger, which is the mother of all the spiritual diseases. Very, very important. This is a very important topic that has created a lot of friction in society, in homes, in the world, etc. Because it's not being monitored. And Sharia is a beautiful, beautiful religion, has shown us how a person can control his anger. He must have anger, but focus it. The tawajju of the anger must be well canalized. You just stop here, inshallah.
The Sheikh.